Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Unity Center of Light, another service from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
We look forward to bringing you this service today. And as always, we invite you to join us in Zoom right after this for fellowship. And we look forward to seeing you there. Again, if you're new to this, you can find the link in your e-newsletter or your weekly update. Right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. Now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, March 27th. The key words are divine order, and the affirmation is, divine order supports my life. Divine order is one of the great truths of life. It provides a foundation for all growth and a blueprint for all manifestation. Feeling stuck or bewildered is a sign that I am out of step with divine order. I pause, and with compassion for myself, I release thoughts of worry, impatience, and doubt. I remind myself of times when I wondered whether a hoped-for result would ever happen, only to realize in hindsight that the foundational aspects had to be in place first. Remembering this helps me to be patient and trusting. I affirm, I cooperate with divine order. It is established in my life now. I listen with mind and heart, trusting that I will discern my path one step at a time. And the scripture reading is taken from Proverbs 3:5, and it reads, "Trust the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight." Amen. Now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are continuing with this release and renew spiritual practice for Lent 2022, and we're going to look at we always struggle with using the word ego because it seems we use it so much, you know, the personal self. But we're going to look at sort of three different aspects or three different ways of approaching this idea of releasing ourselves from the old self, the old way of thinking and being, so we can be open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth, to the new way of being in the world. So we continue this journey of how to develop a consciousness of release and renew, how to develop a consciousness of release and renew, and more specifically, how to live in a consciousness in which we are capable of releasing the old ways of thinking, the old emotions and old ways of being that are keeping us from being continuously renewed. And to be specific, we're talking about spiritual renewal. So how does spiritual renewal happen? Well, let me share this line of thinking, you know, not as an absolute. I don't like to share ideas as absolutes because they keep evolving. But I'm going to share this line of thinking just for something to think about. So the focus of our personal Lenten journey is to learn how to live our life as a radiating beacon of Christ, of Christ's light. Okay, a beacon being a source of inspiration. So what we're exploring is how does one become a source of inspiration, a beacon of Christ's light. Now, we read in Matthew 5:16 that Jesus expressed, "Let your light, you know, so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That's a verse that we're all familiar with. And here's where it gets interesting. Because our ego, intellect, will ask this question. It'll say, how? You know, so that's why I'm saying we are going to talk about the ego today, and I couldn't think of another name for it. You know, sometimes we call it the personal self or whatever, but, you know, let's just be clear about what we're talking about. How do we get out of this way of thinking that we have been into this new way of thinking where we become this beacon of light, this beacon of inspiration, okay? And so the ego's question of how is a legitimate question. And a simple answer that we'll explore in more detail is your light will shine when you learn how to truly put God in charge of your life, of your thoughts, words, and actions, okay? And I say you, but that applies to me also. And the reason why I said it, you know, this is where it gets interesting, is because even though we will affirm that God is in charge of our life and affairs, that is typically not the way our mind and emotions are set up, okay? You get what I'm saying? So we'll affirm that, but we're just not fully set up to follow or have total faith in that idea. So another one of my constant affirmations that I use every day is, I am grateful that God is in charge of my mind, body, life, and affairs. And I always end my affirmations with, thank you, God. And I don't just say this on a daily basis, but I also write it every day in an effort to make the shift from my way to thy way. Okay, again, all these are terms that you know, but collectively they begin to help us understand how to make that shift. So in order to put God in charge of your life, there is a very dominant aspect of your being, a longtime friend, that you must be willing to release from dominance before God can be in charge of your life and affairs. And you know who this longtime friend, of course, is, okay? It's the ego self. That aspect of ourselves that has become territorial and highly protective of our emotional space, okay? So the ego is that aspect of our being that has a tendency to project images that are other than our true divine self. And I hope that makes sense. So we will find ourselves projecting images that really don't signify or demonstrate our true divine self. And a definition for us from a psychoanalytic theory is that the ego is that portion of the human personality which we experience as a self or I, and is primarily in constant contact with the external world through perception. So that's what we're talking about. So this inner dynamic that we have going on basically is getting all of this information from the outside, where the spiritual journey really is an inner journey. It's trying to tap into the truth of our being. And this is how Eckhart Tolle explains it in his 1998 book, A New Earth. He says, when every thought absorbs your attention completely, when you are so identified with the voice in your head and the emotions that accompany it that you lose yourself in every thought and every emotion, then you are totally identified with form and therefore in the grip of ego. Ego is a conglomeration of recurring thought forms and conditioned mental emotional patterns that are invested with a sense of I, a sense of self. Okay? So when we are projecting images that are other than our true divine self, we cannot at the same time let the light of Christ shine through us and into our lives, okay? Like we can't project two at the same time. You know, the Old Testament, you know, you cannot serve two masters, okay? So we cannot project both of these at the same time. But the challenge to releasing ourselves from the grip of our ego or our existing state of mind, if you like that better, so that we can be renewed, is obvious. In this Lenten journey, this spiritual journey, we're being asked to give up something we know for something we do not really know. We're being asked to diminish the protection of our lifelong friend in order to reveal our so-called true divine self, of which we know very little or possibly nothing at all. So this by far can be the most difficult thing for us to accomplish in our quest for spiritual enlightenment. Okay, we are on a path. I believe that everybody who's listening to this is on the path to spiritual enlightenment. But at the same time, it's the struggle to release from dominance this old self that still wants to interject itself into what's happening in our lives, our thinking, our speaking, our acting. So let's at least try to see how we can begin to become more and more aware of the workings of our ego self, you know, this lifelong friend that has been with us, and how we may be able to monitor and check its activity. So the goal of this phase of our personal Lenten journey is to learn how to allow God to be in charge of our life and affairs, not just as an affirmation, but as an actual act, an actual way of being, okay? So when God is truly in charge of our life, when we are truly living from the light of Christ within, our interactions with the people in our life become an obvious testimony to that fact, okay? Now, I just want to emphasize that. When we're truly, you know, God is truly in charge of our life, when we are truly living from the light of Christ within, our interactions with the people in our life become an obvious testimony to that fact. So we do not need to mention that we are living from the light, because it becomes immediately obvious to everyone who comes into our space. Okay, now stay with me in this line of thinking, and then we're going to go to a scripture that's going to explain this. So I believe that when you and I are truly living from the light, one of the things that people become aware of is that we have no emotional boundaries to protect, okay? And when I say emotional boundaries, I'm referring to those things about us that scream out, this is a place you dare not tread. You know what I'm talking about, right? We all have emotional signs similar to the ones people put on their property that says, keep out, no trespassing, right? And so I'm talking about those dynamics within us. And what we're particularly interested in exploring in this lesson is where the ego establishes the appearance of a spiritual frontage, but still sets emotional boundaries beyond which no one is allowed to tread. So the problem is we get caught up in our spiritual frontage. You understand what I'm saying, right? This spiritual persona that we put on, okay? Our spiritual frontage, you know, being our ego's need to protect its intellectual understanding of the spiritual ideals it has learned. So spiritual frontage is the ego's attempt to project that it is living the spiritual life. And it does this up to the point of its emotional boundaries, behind which lie deep-rooted emotional issues it chooses to hide rather than to deal with. I hope all that made sense, and if it doesn't, this would be a great discussion for the Zoom fellowship. So please take notes so we can talk more about that issue and in your feelings about that. So how do you know if you're acting from spiritual frontage? How do you know that you're acting from spiritual frontage? How do I know that I'm acting from spiritual frontage? And the reason why I even came up with a lot of this stuff is because I can see it in myself, okay? Well, if you feel you feel a strong urge to tell people or try to conspicuously demonstrate that you are living in the spiritual light, it's a strong indication that you are not really living in the light, but rather your ego has learned a little something-something, right, about spirituality, and it's just showing off, okay? So that what we want to begin to understand is this a front? Or, you know, like in the movies sometimes, when you see those buildings, like in a cowboy scene, there's really nothing behind those buildings, okay? So am I putting up a spiritual front, or is there some depth behind the spiritual image that I'm putting out? And if you feel you have to tell people, and I'm emphasizing this because we're going to get to a Bible verse that's going to explain this, if you feel you have to tell people or show people that you are living in the light or how spiritual you are, it means your ego is still self-absorbed and self-proclaiming. Now, listen to this conversation between John the Baptist and his disciples. Now, let me be clear. This is John the Baptist and his disciples. And this is recorded in John 3, 25, 31. And we're using this as an example of what this spiritual frontage looks like. Okay, now this is from Scripture. Now, an argument arose among John's disciples, and they came to John, and they said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, here he is, baptizing, and all are going to him. Can you hear it? You hear the spiritual controversy, okay? All are going to him, okay? Now, John answered, no one can receive anything except what is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I have said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. But now he must become greater and I must decrease. Now, let me just explain that. I was sent before him because John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins, and John the Baptist represents the highest form of intellect. And he's saying the intellect came first, but as the Christ comes, the intellect has to diminish so that the Christ can increase. He said, he who comes from above is above all. Okay. So, you know, the disciples were upset because before Jesus came along, they and John were doing all the highly acclaimed spiritual stuff. But now this Jesus person shows up, is what they're saying. Now this Jesus person shows up and is getting all the press, okay? So that's the concept of this spiritual frontage, you know, is am I really operating from the depth of my spiritual being, or is just the intellect has created a front for me to, you know, to show when I'm step out and I'm around people? And again, John's disciples wanted to do something about it. They wanted John to do something about it. You know, John, wait a minute. We can't let this guy take the press away, you know, all the glory away from us. And this is a great example of how they were exposing the fear that was hidden behind their spiritual frontage. So their spiritual frontage expressed, we are disciples of John the Baptist, and we do good in the name of the Lord. You know, that's what they're, you know, that's what they're espousing. But John, who represents a highly evolved ego. Now, let me just emphasize that. John represented a highly evolved ego, had a more realistic understanding of what his purpose was. He knew that he, ego self, had to stand down to make room for the Christ. All right? So that's a really important verse to understand this process. It is the ego self that has a need to brag about or express its perception of its spirituality, which John's disciples were doing. You know, they want to put their spiritual frontage up for everybody to see. And in the 16th chapter of Matthew, after Jesus had, you know, asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? His disciples, he asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you know, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Scripture says Jesus charged his disciples to tell no one, okay? And that's also important to this whole idea of spiritual frontage. See, John's disciples wanted to, you know, they wanted the glory. But John understood that it was not for them to have the glory, that the glory belonged to the Christ, okay? So Jesus' disciples, you know, he asked them, you know, who do you say that I am? And Peter was the only one who really understood, because his other disciples were saying, well, you know, they say you're Elijah. They were saying what they heard other people say. But as we know, for Peter, it percolated up inside of him. It came up in him to understand that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, be sure to tell no one. In other words, we do what we do because it is ours to do, and we do not need to talk about it or act as if we are more special than anyone else. Okay. So another example of this is recorded in Matthew 8:49-54. And it says, while he was still speaking, a man from the ruler's house came and said to the ruler, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. Because the ruler, the person was trying to get Jesus to come and heal his daughter. So his servant comes and says, you know, your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the teacher anymore. But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, do not fear. Only believe, and she shall be well. Now, those are important words. And when he came to the house, when Jesus came to the house, Jesus permitted no one to enter with him but Peter, John, and James. Now, some of you should know where we're headed with this. and also the father and the mother of the child. Now, all were weeping and bewailing her, but he said, Jesus said, do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. This is all important stuff, okay? Knowing that she was dead, that was their perception. But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, child, arise. And her spirit returned, and she got up at once, and he directed that something should be given her to eat. And her parents were amazed, but Jesus charged them to tell no one what happened. Okay? Now, we're going to go through four slides to explain the four lessons that are in this scripture. Okay? Now, first one. The first lesson in this scripture is when something in your life happens that troubles you, do not fear, only believe, and you will be made well. Okay? That's the God is in charge of my life and affairs concept. All right? Stuff comes up, which it is going to come up. Okay? Do not fear, only believe. The second one lesson is that it is through faith, love, and wisdom. Okay, now we know who that is. Those who especially been studying the 12 powers know that faith, love, and wisdom is Peter, John, and James that bring the Christ into the situation. So let me just repeat that again, okay? So through this lesson, the lesson is that through faith, love, and wisdom, okay, that if you have faith and love and wisdom in your heart, mind, and spirit, all right, you will bring the Christ into that situation in your life, okay? So the third lesson is that never allow your ego and ignorance to laugh at or mock the presence of the Christ and the Christ's true assessment of the situation confronting you. So what happens is, you know, stuff comes up and you say, well, no, God is in charge of my life and affairs. But your ego that doesn't really understand that, this perception you have in yourself not really understanding that, will laugh or make you feel like, no, you can't go with that divine intuition that just came up in you, okay? So let me just say this again. Never allow your ego ignorance to laugh at or mock the presence of the Christ. Because that's what people did when Jesus said, she is not dead, okay? And don't let your ego mock the Christ's true assessment of the situation confronting you, okay? So your ego say, well, this is what's happening in my life and is upset about it or bothered by whatever, but that intuition percolates up inside of you and says, nah, this is not really what it looks like. Follow me and I will show you the way, okay? This is your divine intuition. Then the fourth lesson is when Christ awakens in you the awareness of your indwelling divine potential, keep it to yourself, okay? Especially while you are in transition from ego to spirit. Now, I remember many years ago, those of us who were at Unity of Washington, D.C., well, we've been here 30 years, so beyond 30 years ago, we're all taking transcendental meditation together. And the teacher told us, when you have a great meditation experience, do not come out and try to explain to the other students what happened, because they will not be able to understand it because they did not actually have that same experience. Never try to explain your spiritual experience to somebody else because it won't make any sense. It was for you to understand, okay? So when the Christ awakens in you the awareness of your indwelling divine potential, keep it to yourself, especially while you're in transition from ego to spirit. Okay, so, and it's important for us to realize that we are all in transition, okay? And how do we know this? Because we all have had the experiences in our lives when we were able to truly proclaim that God is in charge of my life and affairs. Something came up and you were truly able to proclaim and believe it with all your heart, mind, and soul that God is in charge. And for a moment, the veil of the ego, the ego's ignorance was lifted slightly, and we were able to see the glory of God working in some situation in our lives, okay? And I know people would be raising their hand saying, yeah, I've had that experience. But then something else challenging happens in your life. that causes the affirmation of God is in charge to slip out of our minds. And the veil drops, and we're back struggling with the perceptions of our ego mind. But again, this is all part of the transition. There's no good and bad or right or wrong in here. This is all part of the transition. There'll be times when we'll be able to peek through the veil, and there'll be times when stuff comes up and won't allow us to. Okay, we won't allow ourselves to. Okay? But this is all part of the transition, part of our personal journey. And the key here is just do not give up. All right? That's the key to this whole journey. Just do not give up. And as it's written in Hebrews 12:11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it seems painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Okay? Now, that's what engages me, is because I love the idea of training. Okay, I've been training in something all my life, and I'm still training in different things now. So I like that idea of being trained by it. So you have to stick with this process till the process trains you and moves you to a level where you can begin to live from it. So to take this a step further, we read in Matthew 7:7 for note takers, Matthew 7:24-27, that Jesus taught the following lesson to help us understand how to build a spiritual foundation that doesn't falter no matter what the situation. Okay, so says that he tells the story. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Okay. Now, again, we know those scriptures, but it's putting them in context to help us understand what they really mean in our lives. So building your house on sand means building your house on the false belief that the channels through which you receive all the good in your life come from external material sources. Okay, so we will say that God is in charge of my life and affairs, but if you believe that whatever you need to help you through something only can come through external sources, then, you know, and you're not really grounded on solid ground, okay? Because if those sources that you thought were going to serve you, help you, disappear, your good would disappear also. Okay. Now, it's probably true that at one time or another, all of us have experienced the loss of a particular external source of supply. It could be relationships, it could be job, it could be whatever. So, and I'm not just talking about money. It could also have been a channel through which we received love or companionship or recognition or some other sense of emotional security. But one day it was there, and the next day it was not. Everybody has experienced that. It is experiences like this that cause us to falter in our quest to truly believe God is in charge of our life and affairs. Okay? And when things like this happen out of fear, our ego self snatches back the illusion of control. So at one time, we really might have been in the groove of God is in charge of my life and affairs, and things were unfolding well for us. And then something happens that seems to like knock us off the trail. And the ego just snatches back the illusion of control, which looks like fear, okay, and worry and anger and all different kinds of emotions. And I assume that we all have had experiences at some time in our lives where the rains, you know, fall and the floods came and we felt the wind blow, beat against our house meaning our sense of security that we thought was built on solid ground. But when those things happen, you know, we just realize that what we thought was there was not. But if we all took a moment to honestly evaluate the foundation upon which our sense of security is built, would we find it to be rock or sand. Okay. Now, metaphysically, rock is symbolic of spiritual or truth principles. Okay. Rock is symbolic of spiritual or truth principles. The truth being that God, the omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient power that supplies the universe, is also the origin and the foundation of all the good we receive, regardless of where we think it's coming from. Okay? The places we think it's coming from are merely the channels through which it flows, but all good comes from God. So God is our one and only true source and expresses in our lives as, and this is important, expresses in our lives as divine substance. Okay, divine substance means it can be molded and manipulated into whatever it is we need in our lives. And let's read. This is a long read, but this is important. I know some of you might have read this before, but this is from the Revealing Word. Substance is the divine idea of the underlying reality of all things. Substance is everywhere present. It pervades all things and inspires to action. It underlies all manifestation and is the spiritual essence, the living energy out of which everything is made. Through substance, all the attributes of being, all the attributes of God are expressed. It sustains and enriches any idea that's projected into it. Divine substance is your true source of supply. Okay, go to the next one for me, honey. And out of it, you can form whatever you will according to your faith and understanding. By entering into the silence and acknowledging divine substance, affirming your faith in it and oneness with it. That's the how-to. By entering into the silence, acknowledging divine substance, affirming your faith in it and oneness with it, you become conscious of substance. Spiritual realization of divine substance enriches the the soil or thought stuff in your mind. And Jesus considered divine substance a treasure field in which he could find the fulfillment of his every need, which is what led him to saying to the disciples, "I have food to eat you know not of," because he knew how to tap into divine substance. So it is on our faith in this truth, it is on our faith in this truth that we should build our house, our belief system. Okay? In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, "And I tell you, you are Peter, faith, and on this rock, belief, I will build my church, and the powers of evil shall not prevail against it." And if we look honestly at ourselves and determine that our sense of security is built on a foundation of sand, meaning that we believe that something outside of us is a source of our mind, body, life, and affairs, we can change our foundation by changing what we know to be truly true. Not easy, not easy. But it is the Lenten journey. Okay? We release the old so that we can be renewed. We all know the familiar verse in Romans 12:2, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And again, I know that none of this is easy, but it is written in James 1:12. "Blessed are those who remain steadfast under trial. Blessed are those who remain steadfast under trial. For when they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Okay. So when we choose to stay steadfast, even under life's trials, even when the world may seem to be upside down, we will experience love and peace and harmony from the inside out. The choice is ours. So choose life, the divine life, by simply acknowledging God as the source of all your good. Live without fear by living within the consciousness that is continuously reconditioned by prayer and affirmation to acknowledge God as the one power and one presence that supplies all your needs. And continue in your work, but work with joy. Continue in relationships, but relate in selfless love. Continue in the activities in your life that you enjoy, but be open and receptive to new insights and guidance to whether you are in the right place and doing the right thing. And God will provide you. God will guide you. God will love and protect you. But to benefit from all of this the universe has for you, you must choose to stay on the path. And I want to end with a verse that we've all known since we were children. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
And now, Unity family, let's find that comfortable position. No distractions, no worries, no doubts or fears about what is and what has already taken place. Close your eyes if you wish, or take that downward gaze. Take in some deep breaths and relax. It's time to give yourself the greatest gift of all. Time to stop, breathe, and allow joy to expand within you, your life and affairs. We rest in this holy instant right now. We take in another deep breath. And now listen to the following words as if they were your very own. I feel my body relaxing to the Holy Spirit within. It relaxes with ease as I notice my breath and feel my heartbeat. I silently affirm in this holy instant, I need do nothing. In this holy instant, I need do nothing. I need to just be. There may be mountains of things to do, worries to overcome, resistance to release. And yet, in one holy instant, the mountains can be moved, the worry eased, as a path of least resistance opens up to me. I need do nothing. I breathe and allow my whole being to rejoice in this moment of divine order and peace, as I let go and embrace the sweetness of life in its many forms. In this holy instant, my life is brought back into focus with the power of my intention and the power of my prayers. Let us all pause now and go into the silence, giving all our burdens to the only one who truly knows our hearts. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings and your Unity family. We say thanks to our indwelling Holy Spirit for this gift. We are grateful in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you, honey. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds and let some of the treasure that flows into our personal life flow into our spiritual home. We will say the prosperity prayer together, but we ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, and in your spirit as we say this prosperity prayer.
Offering blessing.
Thank you, then.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And now we have light notes.
Okay, thanks. Just have two announcements. On April the 9th, Saturday, there will be a children's Easter egg hunt. So it's going to start promptly at 10 a.m., and parents will need to let Patty know if they're going to be participating in it or not, so she knows what to prepare, how to prepare. We're also trying to get some lilies for you, but we're not quite sure if we're going to be able to get them, so we don't want to really make an announcement about that, but we're working on that. The Book Light Club's next book read will be the book by Oprah Winfrey and Bruce Perry called What Happened to You? June 12th at 1 p.m. is the discussion date and time. And that's it for Light Notes.
Okay. Well, you know what time it is.
It's time to bless the path that we're going to walk this week. Let's say our affirmation with passion. Passion, zeal, and gusto.
Right.
Let's go together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. Let's go right into our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. And again, we hope that many of you will be in the Zoom discussion. It would be great to have time to discuss some of the things from the lesson today. Other than that, have a wonderful week.
And stay on the path.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.